statement, little dabble do you, right? And faith is like dynamite, man. I mean, a little dab will do you. Amen? And the portion Shelley was sharing there about Brother Mario Murillo and the awesome work that that ministry is doing, that God is doing through their ministry through California, where they are so strict right now with churches and these kind of things. And he just went and put a tent up and started powering through the land with his team, preaching the gospel and getting people saved and delivered. And we sowed sowed a seed into their ministry. And like Shelley was saying, he sent us a little postcard, and you can tell it was his own writing. And he's like, Redeemed Church, in capital letters, thank you. And he's mentioned a couple things they're doing and they're believing God for. And thank you for loving America. Thank you for helping us preach the gospel. You know, just a cool thing. Amen? So in other words, your giving is going outside of these walls and just making a big impact in the world. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for the wonderful, mighty works that you're doing. Not just here, Lord, in our communities, our families, the church, our nation. We continue, Lord, to praise you for the mighty things that we believe you're doing in our country, Lord God. We loosen the angels of God to move on behalf of the United States. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Somebody say amen. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Lane, is our volume better? Thank you, sir. We had everything all set, and all of a sudden, remember that hee-haw song? And it was gone. Our lapel mic just decided to go south for the winter, but it will be back. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I want to... our theme for the year here at our church is kind of twofold. It's the mercy of God and fighting the fight of faith. Amen? And today is kind of, I guess we would say, the opening act for our teaching and preaching in the direction of God's great mercy. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for your great mercy. And don't you know, without the mercy of God, we are all forever lost. Amen? And God's great mercy, I mean, we could preach on it every day for eternity and never find the end of it. Amen? But this image that I found early this morning, actually, kind of, I think, in a nutshell, says it all. That the mercy of God, you know, the sunrise, but it really is a pathway. Right? It's a journey. It's a direction you're walking in. In other words, the mercy of God is extended to those who seek him. Amen? If we're not born again, there's no mercy. Amen? I mean, everybody will get a certain level of mercy through this life. I mean, just go like this. Breath. Even the person that hates God today, he still gives them air to breathe. Amen? And food and energy in their bodies. And he's just hoping that somewhere along the line they will come to their senses and get saved, right? But without the mercy of God, we are forever lost. Amen? Because sin is very costly, isn't it? Rejecting God is very costly, not just for the here and now, but forever. Forever is a very, very long time. Amen? But our foundation text is going to be, if you have your notes there, does anybody need a notes page? Because we have some we can get for you. If not, amen. Praise God. But Lamentations 3, verse 22 says this, through the Lord's mercies, I'm going to take this off of here because I like to move around a little bit. Start feeling like a Baptist stuck to the pulpit. Nothing wrong with Baptists, amen? A lot of folks are going to heaven because of a Baptist message. Praise the Lord. But Lamentations 3:22 says this, through the Lord's mercies, somebody say, thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. And I love the worship song that Pastor Shelley selected this morning, and she didn't know I was going to be doing this, but singing about the mercies of God. They do not fail. Amen? And some key definitions for this from the Strong's Concordance and the dictionary. The word mercies, a couple of great things to think of when you see the word mercy is favor. Amen? Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for your favor. And loving kindness. Whenever you see the word mercy, you can interject loving kindness. The mercy of God is a love thing. It's a kindness thing. Has anybody ever heard anybody say something like, Lord, thank you that I didn't get what I deserved in this life, right? Amen. His loving kindness was extended toward me, and he gave me something in the natural I did not deserve. Amen? And that word consumed in the Strong's Concordance means words like end. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. That means words like end or fail, be all gone. One of the saddest things after a good Starbucks is that you come to a point where it's all gone. Or a couple of donuts, right? You get to the point, maybe I'm just talking about me right now, but you get to a point and it's all gone. Or a good bag of Doritos when you have four kids at the house, teenagers, and you get five or six of them and realize, oh, they're all gone. Oh, praise God. But through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, all gone, be spent, be wasted, a life wasted, right? And the dictionary, I like the dictionary too. The word consume means to destroy as by burning. It's amazing how many things the world credits to God that is not God at all. Ever, you know, in the insurance industry, right? Act of God. Wildfire, act of God. Well, Holy Ghost wildfire maybe. And it may be an act of God, but it's little g. God, right? Storms. We were out in my folks' area last night and looking at some of the damage from the ice storm. Now, it was a beautiful thing, the snow and the ice, get a little extra rest, but man, there was some stuff that happened that wasn't cool, not to be, use a pun, right? Like the damage to the trees throughout that area out there in Damascus and areas around there. Amazing. Amazing. And we're out there pulling branches out and things. And there was and these things will be credited to as an act of God in the insurance industry. Eagle Mountain today is, they had to postpone their service and have an online service because in Texas, in Dallas, ice storm. And people's, their pipes have broken, and inside their building, they had sprinklers going off. And so that's not an act of God. That's an act of the devil, right? That's part of the curse. And what do we do with the curse, church? We reject it, don't we, right? We believe God to heal and restore and bless. Amen. And that's the business that we're in as believers. Believing God, like Pastor Shelley was sharing about Brother Murillo and the young man up in the front getting delivered of drugs. Man, God didn't put drugs on that kid to teach him something. He sent a Savior to save him from the drugs. Hallelujah. So, consume means, in the dictionary again, to destroy, as by burning, to devour, to undergo destruction, to waste away. Don't you know that's what the world is in the process of right now, without Christ, I'm talking about. Right? It's in the process of undergoing destruction. They'll talk about it like, oh no, we're evolving, but actually they're devolving. Amen? And that's spooky. Without Jesus, it is scary. Amen? But with Jesus, somebody say, with Jesus, no fear. No fear. Amen? And the word compassions, when it says, because his compassions fail not, words like love. And you think about Jesus and the stories where it says he was moved with, somebody say it, he was moved with compassion, right? He wasn't moved with anger, maybe toward the devil, right? But he was moved with compassion for the people, right? And that word means love. It means find, have, obtain, or show mercy upon. So the compassion of God moves him to show us his mercy. Hallelujah. And the word fail, when it says his compassions fail not, means things like to end, to cease, to perish, to expire, to faint, to consume away. There's that word again, right? To destroy utterly, to waste. So it's kind of that play on words, consumed and fail. In other words, you'll never find the end of his mercy. Amen? You'll never find an expiration date to the mercy of God, right? You will never destroy the mercy of God. No matter how ugly the sin is, how big the problem is, there's no way to, it doesn't even compare to the mercy of God towards the person in that situation, right? It can't be consumed. It can't be destroyed. There's no end to it. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that, right? Amen? Because there will be an end to this life. Brother Carmen that went home to be with Jesus this past week, he was having some health problems. And let me tell you this, his health problems came to an end last week. But he did not. He just stepped in right out of his body into his glorious body, into heaven, where the joy never ends, the peace never ends, the power of God never ends. Amen? Praise the Lord. His mercies fail not. Has anyone in here ever failed? I'm talking about since you got saved, right? Just because you got saved doesn't mean we don't have a oops or an issue, right? But guess what? I got good news. His mercies fail not toward us. Amen? But we just got to do what? We got to stay on the pathway. Somebody say, stay on the path. Stay on the roadway to glory. Don't ever quit, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, no matter how much you like something that you know God says is wrong. You stay on the path of his mercy, right? And it just brought up to mind these scriptures I put in here in this next part. Who is your daddy? We got to remember who our daddy is. I love that movie, Remember the Titans. And Denzel Washington is Coach Boone. They're integrating this school. The blacks and the whites are coming together, and they're going to be a football team. And there's issues back then with that, right? I mean, we're still fighting some issues with race and these kind of things. But don't you know, Jesus is the answer to all of these things. Amen? But Brother Denzel, he's Coach Boone in this movie, and he brings these two star white players that are on his team come to him and say, hey, listen, we don't need any of your people on defense. We got the defense cut. And he says, oh, my people. Right? And he's talking to these young men, and he says, hey, listen, is your mom here today? They're getting on the bus to go to camp. He goes, yes, that's my mother over there. And he goes, well, take a good look at her. Because he goes, you're going to be seeing your mom no more for a couple weeks. Say goodbye to her. And let me ask you this. You know who your daddy is, right? You know who your daddy is? He's looking at him. He goes, if you want to play on this football team, you're going to answer me, who is your daddy? And he goes, you. Now get back on the bus, straighten your tie. And then he goes to both buses, and he has, you know, they're dividing themselves, and he has the black players and the white players all team up together, and they're all sitting with someone from a different color. It's a beautiful movie, right? But this thing about God is your daddy. Somebody say, God is my daddy. And this is not true for the whole world. And there's a lie out there that says, oh yeah, God is everybody's daddy, but he is not. There's another daddy out there. Let's look at it right here in John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's that word consume. He is the consumer. We're talking about who here? Somebody say the devil. There is a devil who's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. So if anything we see out there, we can identify his actions. Did it kill? Did it steal? Did it destroy? Devil. Right? And then he says in the same verse, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus brings life. Devil brings death. Two fathers. Somebody say, I choose God. And it is a choice. It's a choice that we all make. Amen? That every human being makes. Hallelujah. So who's your daddy, church? Somebody say, God is my daddy, my Abba Father. Hallelujah. And we choose him. We choose him. Amen? If we do not choose him, then by default, the destroyer is our father. And what's he going to do? Destroy. How's he destroying right now in the world? Through people that are following his lead. Amen? Somebody say, not me. Not me. I've chosen God, the Father of great mercies. And 1 John 3, 4 through 10 says it this way. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And that's a great word to sum up what's happening in our world today, in our nation today, a spirit of lawlessness, right? There is no right and wrong. We'll decide what's right and wrong. Up is down, down is up. Good is evil, dark is light, light is dark. Somebody's saying that's nonsense, right? But where do we come to find out what the truth is? Somebody say the Bible, God's word, right? Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, talking about Jesus, to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever, verse 6, abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. So you see, what we're getting at here is this great mercy of God is not a license for me to just keep right on sinning. Oh, I'm just going to keep right on doing what I want to do because, oh, it's the mercy of God. Lie. Somebody say, that is a lie. Now, we're not earning God's mercy. We receive his mercy, but then we start living for him and we stop sinning. Somebody say, I stopped sinning and I'm living for Jesus. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we never trip up and have something we have to ask God for his forgiveness. Let's move on. We're getting there. Amen. Verse 7, little children, don't you know, compared to God, we no matter how old we are, we're little children. Say, yes, daddy, right? Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices, there's the word. Somebody say practice, right? He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. Uh-oh. Right? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Somebody say hallelujah. So who's your daddy, church? Right? And verse 9 says this, whoever has been born of God does not sin. That's why we say born again. Born again means now I am born of God. Right? For his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, let me testify to you something, church. Let me just testify, share a testimony. I've been born again for a long time, since I was a child. But I have had sin problems in my life over the years. Oh, don't look at me like that. He's the pastor and he's had sin problems? Of course. We got somebody say, just poke yourself and say, that's flesh. That's flesh. There's things that your flesh may like that the Bible says, stop that. And so we got to get ourselves by the scruff of the neck and say, hey, enough of this. No more of that gossip. No more of that slandering. No more of that hating. No more of that lusting. No more of that gossiping. Amen? Why? Because I have chosen Jesus. Amen? I have been born of God. Therefore, I choose the mercy of God. And here's the point I'm trying to make in this. If you're born again, you cannot, somebody say cannot, live a sinful life. It will make you absolutely miserable. And let me testify to you, I lived that way for a long time. Loving God and loving sin. And I was miserable. Miserable. Somebody say miserable. Now the mercy of God was there, always there, extended toward me. I was following God, I was serving God, but yet I had these things in my life, and praise God, he's delivered me of those things, amen. But it is a miserable thing to be a born again, I have Gloria Copeland to call it, a carnal Christian. Somebody say, the mercy is there. The mercy is there. Hallelujah. And verse 10 says it this way. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Somebody say there's two families. There's not three. It's like the gender thing. There's not 27 genders. There's two. And in God's family, there's two daddies. And we're not talking about, you know, same-sex attraction. We're talking about spiritual fathers. Two. How many again, church? Two. Right? And here we go. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Amen? So therefore, we could say whoever practices righteousness is of God. Amen? Somebody say, I'm practicing. I'm practicing. I'm practicing righteousness. And I heard, I think it was Billy Brim and Gloria Copeland were on a broadcast, and she was talking about that thing about practicing serving God. Amen? Somebody say, I am practicing serving God. You wouldn't be in church today, I don't believe, if that wasn't important to you. Amen? Or reading your Bible every day, or listening to messages, listening to sermons, praying, turning a deaf ear to the things of the devil and keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen? That's practicing serving God. And I wanted to look at that word practice really quick here. A dictionary definition, to do something habitually, to pursue as a profession. You know, there's even people out there that call themselves followers of Jesus, but they are promoting things that are of the devil. And just saying, that's okay. Oh, that Bible is, that's the old days, man. Come on up. This is progressive Christianity. Somebody say lie. That is a lie. Amen? And they're not just living it themselves, but they're promoting it to others that it's okay. I'm talking about, you know, people in the ministry, people that are, you know, religious so-called people. Somebody say, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Amen? To do something habitually, to pursue as a profession, to follow or observe. That's why that pathway. Somebody say, I'm following Jesus. I refuse to follow the devil. I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? To follow or observe. And the Strong's Concordance says to bear toward, to lead to. That's an important thing to remember in our following of Jesus, is someone else might be following you. That's a good reason to shut sin down, because someone else might be following me. Right? Oh, it doesn't matter if I do this or live this way. It's just only going to affect me. That is not true. I don't want to have to answer someday for someone else going off the deep end because they were watching me. Somebody say, no, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of my life. To bear toward, to lead to present unto, to put to. Those are some good words for practice. And we'll close it up today. And again, this is just like, you know, the opening session in us looking at the mercy of God, right? The mercy of God. Because I'll tell you what, simultaneously with mercy, there's also this thing called judgment. And that's what we're going to be looking at in weeks to come. The mercy of God on Adam and Eve was judgment on the serpent, right? The mercy of God on Noah was judgment on the rest of the world. Simultaneously, right? So the important thing to know, church, is who's your daddy? And stay with your daddy. Somebody say, I'm not letting go of my daddy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But Romans 6, verses 1 through 14 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, why not? Why not, Pastor Steve? The grace is there. Yeah, but see, the word grace means this. It means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in my life. Somebody say, grace is not a license. It is not, right? And he says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's why to a Christian, sin is miserable. Yeah, there's some fun in it. There's pleasure in sin, but it is deadly. It is lethal. It breaks communion. I was talking with the Lord about this week. I was like, you know, Lord, the most important thing to me is our oneness between one another, right? And that has to do with how I think, how I talk, how I behave. It has to do with how I pray. It has to do with financially, right? Morally, every way. I do not want to break. It's not about the reward. It's not about the carrot at the end. No, it's about loving Jesus and staying in oneness with him today. Somebody say hallelujah, right? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, we do live in a world that promotes sin. It invents new ways of sinning, right? And rewards those who do it and gives them financial aid and special interest groups and representatives and, man, let's just get out there and sin. Amen. Forgetting completely that the wages of sin is what? Death. Somebody say, that's not my daddy. That's not my daddy. And verse 3 says this, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. Somebody say, this thing is a walk. Yeah. And let me encourage you with this. Don't ever, 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 ever give in to being down on you. No, we're down on sin, not down on you. The Holy Ghost is not down on you. He's down on sin. Otherwise, you get into guilt, condemnation, self-rejection. Ask me how I know. I've been delivered. I am a free man today because I discovered Jesus is not down on me. He's down on things that want to kill me. Hallelujah, right? Therefore, verse 4 again, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's a daily walk. Amen? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I love that word, united. Amen? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Pastor Steve, I thought we were talking about the mercy. This is the mercy. See, the mercy is a way of life. Amen? It's not a license to live however I want. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of believing. It's a way of acting, right? Verse 7, and this, by the way, Romans was written after. Romans is not in the Old Testament, right? Romans is after the resurrection, right? And this guy, Paul, he understands exactly what we're talking about, doesn't he? Because he was into killing and persecuting Christians, and Jesus saved him. Glory to God forevermore. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Somebody say, who's your daddy? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Somebody say, glory to God. That's why Carmen is in heaven today. Not because Carmen did so many great things for God. Carmen was a human being, right? God isn't up there going, okay, he did this many great things for me and this many bad things for me. The good barely outweighs the bad. Welcome into heaven, but keep your distance. No. Somebody say, faith in God means my daddy is God. Hallelujah. Verse 10, for the death that he died for sin, to sin once for all, that the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also, verse 11, right? I thought Jesus had to do it all. He did. He did it all. But then there's verses in the Bible like verse 11 that say, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That word reckon means consider. Be a good cowboy movie word. I reckon I'm dead to sin. Why ain't you sin anymore? Well, I reckon I'm dead to it. So that means I'm alive to something else. But alive to God, alive to the mercy. Somebody say, I'm alive to the mercy, right? I'm alive to the love, alive to the grace, alive to the righteousness, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's why that definition there, practice, means present unto, right? Present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Somebody say hallelujah. And that word instruments in my Bible, it's the word weapons. Somebody say, I'm God's weapon. See, if we get off the devil's team in every area of our life, we become a weapon of God. Not to axe people's heads off with, but to shine his glorious light, that people could be saved. That people can simply see the path. I can't force anybody to walk the path, but I can sure show them to it. And it's a lot more effective if it's not overgrown with blackberry bushes and pits and all these kind of things, because I'm not living for God. Here, you just need to walk this path I'm walking. Well, man, you're doing weed and lusting and gossiping just like the rest of us. What's the difference? The mercy. Yeah, seems like you need it. Somebody say, glory to God. I'm on the path of life, and I can show someone else how to get on it. I can't get on it for them, but I can show them where it is. There, have you ever thought about this? No matter how dark, how evil, how ugly something is, they're one, somebody say, they're one prayer away. One. It's like Paul, when he was Saul, all he said was, Lord! He saw him. He saw it. All they have to do in many cases is see it. And who's he going to use to show them? Somebody say, me. Because Jesus is not, very rarely, I've heard stories, but usually he uses somebody else to show someone. Amen? That's why we've got to live for him, be on the path of righteousness. And verse 14, finally, we'll close with this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Somebody say, I'm under the grace of God. I'm under the mercy of God. And when you think of that, we can think of it in terms of the law of mercy. A new governing system is now over my life, the governing authority of the mercy of God. And the mercy of God will restrain me from making decisions I ought not be making. The mercy of God will hold me back from saying things and doing things and thinking things and becoming things that this Bible says are absolutely wrong. Why? Because I'm no longer under the authority of the sin government. I'm under the authority of the mercies of the Most High God. Somebody say, glory to God. Glory to God. This is going to be a fun series. Amen? Let's all stand up on our feet and just thank the Lord for his mighty presence in our lives. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your great mercy. Just take a moment, and if there's anything the Lord is revealing to you in your own heart, maybe areas where you've let it slip, maybe areas you didn't know were even slipping, but you know the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you about it, just take a minute and repent in your heart to say, Lord, I thank you that your light is showing. I receive my forgiveness and my cleansing of all unrighteousness, and I declare today that I am no longer under the authority of the rule, the government of sin, but I am under the authority and the rule and the government of the great mercies of God. Hallelujah, Lord. Your compassions, they fail not, God. And I thank you, Lord, that there is an end to this sin thing, God, that Jesus said on the cross that day, it is finished. And I agree with him now in every area of my life. The curse, the devil's power, sin is finished. I'm finished with it. And I choose today to live for you, God, not in just one area, but in every area of my life. And I will be a great weapon in your hands, Lord, and show people that path of your mercy, God. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for coming to church.